Good morning. If you would, go ahead and be opening your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to be at this morning. And while you're turning there, I want to share with you a couple of things that Joe and I had talked about this week that he wanted me to share with you guys, and also a couple other things. First off, in the slideshow this morning during the announcements, if you saw the picture of the church shirts, I know they look black. Those are actually navy. Just sometimes the colors kind of look funny on the projector. And the cost of those are going to be $7 from youth sizes up to XL and $750, and then $950 from 2X and up to 3X. So I want to share with you that. Also, Joe asked me to mention this, and just a reminder, here in a couple of weeks, we're going to be having our gospel meeting with Brother Keith Parker. I hope that you've been praying with that. I hope that you're inviting friends for that as well. It's going to be a great gospel meeting. Brother Keith does an outstanding job, and you will be blessed to be here for that event all week long. Something else I want to remind all the youth and families about, if you have not gotten your Lance Leaders registration to me, please try to get that to me today. We've got to get all of that squared up. With that being said this morning, a couple of things that I want to share with you as we begin this morning. One of the things that I loved back home, there was this little hole-in-the-wall restaurant called DJ's Diner. DJ's Diner was not your typical, nice restaurant that you would carry someone on a date or anything like that. DJ's was a place that you would walk into on any given day of the week, and you would see guys in blue jeans, boots, and probably cut-off t-shirts and ball caps. This was the place that everyone would go in my hometown to go eat lunch if they had a job at a farm or a factory or anything like that. Everybody would go to DJ's to eat lunch. And I remember when I was a sophomore in high school, I met the lady who was the head cook at DJ's Diner. Her name was Miss Sarah. Miss Sarah was 85 years old, and she loved cooking in DJ's Diner. And Dad introduced me to her, and we were sitting down, and we were talking to her, and I asked her one morning, I said, "Miss Sarah," I said, "why is it that you enjoy doing this so much?" And she said, "every day," she said, "I get to meet somebody different. I get to make somebody's life better, and I get to help someone to have a better afternoon." And I thought, wow, the whole reason this lady does this is so that she could help make somebody's day better. And I asked her one day, I said, well, Miss Sarah," I said, "how many years have you been working here at DJ?" She said, "well, I've owned it for the last 40, and I worked for 25 before then." And it was a passion of hers. And she said, "there are some days when I come in that individuals will come in on their lunch break." And she said, "you know, some days individuals have had bad days." She said, "and I'll bring out a hot meal to them, and I'll sit down, and I'll get to know them. I'll ask them about their day, and I'll find out, you know, what's going on, what's causing them to have a bad day." And she said, "most times, by the time we end our conversation and they eat their lunch for 30 minutes to an hour," she said, "generally that bad day doesn't seem so bad." She said, and then on other days, she said, the same individuals will walk in, and they'll be having a great day. And she said, "you know what we'll do? We'll sit down and have another conversation just like we did the day before on their bad day." And she said, "you know what? We both leave and have a better day than what we did." She said, "but people's lives change every day." She said, "the common factor is Christ told me to make a difference." I remember my senior year of high school. I was working the summer prior to my senior year of high school at the farm like I usually would. And we came in one afternoon, and we pulled in the DJs ready to sit down and have lunch. And on the sign, or on the door, was one of these signs, kind of similar to what you see back here. And this is what it said. It said, "sorry, we are closed." Now, if you know anything about my small hometown of Halls, and Ashley can tell you this, there's not a lot of eating options in Halls. So when one of the main places that you would go to eat lunch is closed, that's a big deal. So we found out later that afternoon that Miss Sarah had actually passed away of a heart attack. And DJ's Diner has not been open since. But one of the things that I learned from Miss Sarah was she says that everybody is the same every day. The circumstances just change. You can have a good day. You can have a bad day. You can have a great day, or you can have a mediocre day. She said, how we choose to live it is what makes the difference. Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 17, Paul would write to those at Ephesus, and this is what he would say. "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, to practice every kind of impurity, but that is not the way that you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth in Jesus. One of the things that strikes me as we go about our Christian lives is that every day we wear a sign of Christ. Some days our Christian life is turned on, and some days maybe it's not turned on. Some scenarios we do an outstanding job of helping people to see Christ, and other days, you know what, we kind of flip it to, sorry, be back in 15 minutes. The challenge for us that really and truly is the difficult part about being a Christian is at what point do we find that consistent everyday lifestyle that says constantly that our sign is always on for Christ? We are human. We make mistakes. All of us do. Romans would tell us that we all fall short of the glory of God. And one of the things that we look at in the scriptures is, what do we do to become better? What do we do to grow? What do we do to make sure that every day our Christianity shines so that other people may see Christ? And there's a couple of things that I want to share with you this morning that will help us when we look at this idea of our everyday Christian lives. How do we improve? How do we become better? How do we grow more? How do we push on to the next day? There was a story that a man went into the doctor. He goes in and he has his checkup to the doctor, and the doctor sits him down and he says, "Sir," he said, "I hate to tell you this, you're in terrible shape." He said, "You are in awful shape." He said, "You're going to have to do something about it." This is what the doctor told him. He said, "Okay, doctor," he said, "well," he said, what do you suggest? What would you like me to do? Because I'm in terrible shape, what can I do?" And this is what the doctor would respond. "First, tell your wife to cook more nutritious meals." And the man looks at him, he says, "Okay." He said, "Second, stop working like a dog." And the guy said, "You know what, I'm starting to like the sound of this." He said, the doctor said, "inform your wife that you're going to make a budget and she has to stick to it." He said, "Hold up a minute, I can't do that. And tell your wife that she has to keep the kids off your back so you can relax." And he looks at the doctor. He says, "Is there anything else?" And the doctor says this. He said, "Unless there are some changes like that in your life, you've got about a month to live before you die." So the man sits there and he kind of rubs his head for a moment, and he thinks about what the doctor says. He thinks about him telling that his wife has to change the cooking, and he's got to stop working, and he's got to start relaxing. His wife needs to take care of the kids, and also that she's going to have to start following the budget that you plan. And he looks at the doctor and he says, "Doc, I think this would sound a whole lot more professional if it came from you. Do you mind calling my wife?" The doctor said, "Sure, I'd be glad to." When he got home, his wife rushed up to him and she said, "I talked to your doctor today. And he said, you've only got 30 days to live." Sometimes when we look at our Christianity and our everyday Christianity, sometimes we get so caught up in the other side of things that if we were to change, that we would have to deal with these things, that we prevent ourselves from making those necessary changes so that we can make it to the next day. And that we can bring one more soul to Christ. And that we can push on a little bit farther and a little bit harder. But in the book of Ephesians, Paul would write to those at Ephesus, and this is what he would say to those. He says, "Guys," he says, "there has become, or there is arising a problem that's on the horizon." He said, "The Gentiles have had a problem to where they would hear Christ, and they would hear about this change that they need to make, and they would hear about the instructions that Christ would give them so that their lives would become better. But because of their hardness of hearts, that they didn't like it, or they didn't want to change, or they didn't want to have to do something different or more, they decide, you know what? It's not worth it. It's not worth it." Paul would go on in verse 21, and he would say this: "Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth of Jesus..." Here's the important part. Go with me to verse 22. to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner in life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. So when we think about the question, what do we have to do to earn that consistency or to gain that consistency in showing our Christianity every day to the world so that they can look at us and see God Almighty and His Son living through us? The first point I want you to think about this morning with me is that we have to commit to putting off the old self. And I like how Paul would write it here in verse 22. He would say that we have to put off, and I've underlined these and put it in bright red here so that we can talk about this here for just a second, to put off the old self. And I want to stop here for just a second. I want us to think about this idea. When you think about the idea of the old self, there are a couple of references that come to mind that we're going to dive into here in just a moment. But I like how Paul puts that adjective, old self, there. And the idea is that the old self is not the self that you presently are or is going to be in the future. Put off the old self. And he says, here's the reason, which belongs to your former manner of life, again, being past tense, because and is corrupt through deceitful desires. So when we make this commitment to put off our old self, there's a couple of things that Paul would have the church at Ephesus to hear. And the first thing was, he said that your old self is accustomed to or is holding on to the former manner of the life that they lived. And if you go back up and you look in verse 17, and he's talking about the Gentiles and the hardness of their hearts, what Paul is saying is the Gentiles had a former way of life. They came to see Christ. They understood his teachings. They had the opportunity to change, and they looked at it and they said, you know what? I've got a scale, and here's my old life, which I like pretty well. And here's this new life, which I've got to change a whole lot of things. You know what? I don't like that idea of something new. I'm just going to hold on to the former. And you would see how he would say that they are darkened in their understanding. More importantly, it says that they were alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of hearts. So the idea is that when Paul and those who would come to Ephesus and teach them the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ, he would say, guys, you are alienated from God. You are separated from God. And your life has to change so that you can be remended to God Almighty. And they looked at it and they said, you know what? I think it costs too much. You know what? I'm more comfortable over here with these things than changing to come to that side and do those things. And we look at that and you look at today and you say, well, what's the purpose for us? And here's the challenge that I want you to think about here for just a moment. When we commit to putting off the old self and we leave him in the ground when we bury ourselves in Christ Jesus and rise up a new creation, when we commit to putting ourselves in the ground and leaving the old self behind, it isn't just a physical commitment to, okay, I'm going to get baptized and I'm going to put the old self away. There is a mental commitment that has to change in our minds so that we can prevent ourselves from going back to those old ways. You know, we talk about repentance sometimes and what that means when we are going through the good news of Jesus Christ. And sometimes, you know, I remember as a child hearing that repentance means that you turn around 180 degrees. And I always thought as a child, you know, if I turn around from everything that I thought was bad, as long as I just turn around from it and get away from it and prevent myself from doing it, then that's what repentance was. And I'll never forget, there was a gentleman by the name of H.C. Bretzler who came and did a gospel meeting at Halls one year. And he said this, he says, repentance is not just turning away from those things. He said, repentance says, I'm going to turn away from those things. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I am so glad that I'm not caught up in those things anymore. Because there's a mental change that happens. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, Paul would also echo the same idea about committing to putting away the old self. Let's begin in verse 1, and he would say this. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And here's the part I want you to focus in on just for a moment. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. And what Paul would say here is that when you decide to enter a covenant relationship with God and you make that commitment to walk with God, he said, you've got to understand something. When you are baptized into Christ and you lower yourself into that watery grave and you commit to putting your old self away, he said, that's not just a temporary process. He says, when you put that old self away and you bury them in the ground with Christ in baptism, you need to leave them there. Sometimes we don't think about it from this perspective, but the idea that Paul would imply would be this. He says, when you go and bury someone that you have lost or that is no longer with us, he said, you don't go dig them up again, do you? And that's the idea that he wants us to see. We have to commit to putting the old self off. Or turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And Paul would say it a little bit different this time, but he echoes the same exact idea. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This is a little bit of a lengthy reading, so bear with me. He would say this, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On the account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Verse 7, in these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and having put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of the Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And Paul would echo to the church at Colossae, he would say this. He says, when you put yourself away, the old self, the new self can't look the exact same. It doesn't look the exact same. You're going to put away characteristics that you once did that you will no longer do. You can't have the ways of evil that you have formerly practiced. When you bury your old self and you come out of those waters, you're going to put away like sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, lying to one another. The idea is that, guys, when you put on Christ in baptism and you raise up out of that water, if there's not a change from the start of your Christian walk with God until today, we're doing it wrong. We're doing it wrong. When we commit to putting off the old self, our lives, our everyday Christian living, as the sign would say, doesn't look the exact same every day. There may be some similarities. There may be some common practices that we do that help us to grow and help us to mature. But the goal behind entering a relationship with God and putting off the old self is so that we can become better every day. So how do we commit ourselves to putting off the old self? And I mentioned this a moment ago when we talked about repentance. But Paul would say this. Go back with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And let's go back to verse 22 once again, and we'll read through verse 23. This is what Paul would say. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Here is where the challenge sets in with everyday Christian living. We as humans are creatures of habit. We have our everyday processes that we go through. You know, we wake up in the morning, we brush our teeth, we get ready, put deodorant on. Whenever we go to bed, you know, we brush our teeth, we put deodorant on. You know, when we get up, we eat, you know, once, twice, three times a day. You know, we have these habits that we all do every single day. So when we change habits, sometimes our lives are not so receptive to them. I'll give you a prime example. This is something that happens every year. When December 31st hits and New Year's rolls around, you know what the number one New Year's goal is? Lose weight. That's the number one New Year's goal just about every year, is we're going to lose weight this year. So people, you will see a major influx in gym membership purchases from December 31st till about February or March. And then almost always, 85 to 90% of those individuals who went out and purchased that gym membership because they were going to change their lifestyle, because they were going to commit to having a new mindset in the new year about losing weight and to get in better shape, guess what happens to that gym membership in about 3 months? Gone. Right back into the old ways. Not doing it. Not working on it. You know what? It doesn't fit my everyday schedule. I just don't have the time to go. And here's what I think it comes down to. When we have to change our daily habits, our everyday living, when that requires a major or big change because of our nature, because we are creatures of habit, a lot of the times we'll shy away from it. Because our minds are not in the right place. We can stand here and teach classes, we can do personal Bible studies, we can preach gospel sermons, we can sit down and have individual conversations all day long. And yes, there may be times that I might convince you to either do a certain action or not do a certain action. And that is a great thing. But in the long run, if I am the drive that's convincing you to change your actions and something happens to me, guess what happens to your actions? They go back to what they were formerly a lot of the times. But if I can convince you that your mindset needs to change, to where if I say, hey, you probably shouldn't talk this way, I could tell you, hey, don't say that in front of me, and that's going to prevent you maybe from saying certain words in front of me. But if I can convince you in your mind that God is displeased with whatever you are saying, and you start to think, hey, I don't need to say this, God does not like this, it will be a habit that will change, because what we have done is we've renewed our minds through His Word. We change hearts and minds, and actions follow. But we have to be committed to renewing our minds. As Paul would say here in verse 23, he says, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And here's a couple of things that I jotted down that I want us to think about for just a moment. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, this is a very familiar passage to many of us. Paul would say this about our everyday Christian living, and I love the phrases that he uses here. He would say in verse 1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And Paul would, he would explain how our lives are a sacrifice to God Almighty. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But if you think back to the Old Testament prior to Christ coming and John the Baptist proclaiming him out of the wilderness, God was not a God to have sacrifices offered to him that were not in the right fashion. And I'll give you an example. If you think back to the story, there were two individuals who were priests called Nadab and Abihu. And they wanted to go worship God like they have been. And they get in their mind, you know what? I think that God would like this just a little bit if I did this on the altar. So what they did is they come up to the altar and they lit a profane fire, is what they called it, or incense in the original language. And as soon as they lit it on the altar and they offered that sacrifice to God Almighty, the fire comes out of the altar and consumes both Nadab and Abihu. So when Paul would mention here in Romans that we are to offer our lives as that sacrifice, there's an implication that we need to commit to renewing our minds to make sure that our actions make us the sacrifice that God would be pleased with. And it may come in the form of our speech. It may come in the form of our actions. It may come in the form of our thoughts. But our everyday Christian lives have to look different than what they used to be. God did not accept seconds, and God expected that His offerings be held to a higher standard. Christ does not want you to be a slave to sin in order to be a soldier for Him. And I'll clarify, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have mistakes. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to mess up and that there are not going to be times that the blood of Christ is not going to cleanse our sins, because it will happen and it will happen often. But the mindset behind you that drives you to decrease the amount of times that those mistakes and upsets happen is what God wants to see. God wants an individual who is committed to renewing their minds. That way their actions will look better tomorrow than what they did today. He would say in Colossians chapter 3 and 2, verse 2, that we are to set our minds on the things that are above. The idea is put your focus on something that is going to help you to become a better person tomorrow. Put your focus on something that is going to help you to become more godly tomorrow, more pure tomorrow. And here is what it comes down to. Not only do we choose not to do those things we formerly did, but like I said a moment ago when we talked about repentance, we start seeing the problem with those things that we were doing that we thought were okay. The mentality changes. You see, maybe I used to say these before I became a Christian, and it was just okay. Maybe I used to lie before I was a Christian, and it was okay. Maybe I used to spend my money on these things before I was a Christian, and it was okay. Okay, now I've buried my old self. I have raised up a new creation in Christ with God, and now my mentality says, man, I really needed God. And I don't need to do those things anymore. And I'm not going to do those things anymore. And I'm going to leave those things behind me because my mentality says I care for God more than I care for those things. And our mindset changes. And we move forward because we have renewed our minds in Christ. And it's important to note that the place we have to renew our minds is God's Word. You see, sometimes we fall habit of comparing apples to apples with other individuals when God says, I don't want you to compare yourselves to one another. I want you to compare yourselves to my Word. He said, this is the standard. And if you are striving to uphold my standard, any other standard doesn't matter. God has showed us over and over in Scripture about how His standard supersedes the standards of others. You think about Moses, and you think about the standards that were set for him, and you think about how he did not uphold those standards, but yet he upholded God's standards. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You think about Daniel. You think about Noah. You think about all these individuals who literally looked at their own lives and they said, guys, I am going to be better because I am following the better standard. My mind is set on things above, which is where the standard originates. And when we renew our minds in the standard that God has set, we will become better and better every single day. Ashley and I were talking about the different age groups and how, you know, we kind of adapt where we get our age groups from. And one of the things that was brought up, he was a gentleman that we had to study, both of us had to study when we were at Freed Hardeman. It was a guy named Eric Erickson. And Eric Erickson said that every group of people can be broken down roughly into three groups for adults. You have your younger adults, you have your middle-aged adults, and you have your what you would call mature adults. And I seen an article that quoted Eric Erickson this week, and one of the things it said was, people don't reach the mature adult stage with the mentality of a young adult. And the idea is that we all, in our lives, when we are moving forward with everyday Christian living, our mentality changes day by day. You think about that for just a moment. And even me, with 25 years old, the mentality that I hold about certain things has changed every single day. When I was a freshman, sophomore in high school, two of the most important things that I thought about were work and football. It's not the same anymore. The most important thing I think about today is serving God to the best of my ability, because my life could end at any moment. My priorities have changed over life, and what has happened, it's not that things have disappeared. It's not that things are pulling themselves away from me, but the idea is that I've changed my mentality and I am pulling myself away and looking and setting my mind on things that are above. We have to be committed to renewing our minds. Our mentality has to change. And the third and final point I want us to think about here for just a moment is that when we commit to renewing our minds and we commit to putting the old self away, what we do and what we must do is that we have to put on the new self. If you go back in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and you look at verse 24, he would say this, Paul would, "And to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as it is good for the building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." We not only have to commit to putting off the old self, we not only have to commit to renewing our minds, but we have to commit to putting on the new self. One of the hardest things that we undergo when we decide to put on Christ in baptism, and I know we've had several young people who have been baptized in the past couple of months, Luke, Jaden, Caden, especially you guys, I want you to hear this. When we decide to enter that relationship with God Almighty and we put that old self in the ground, sometimes we don't think about this. You've got to replace that old self with something. You will replace that old self with something. The question becomes, what do you replace the old self with? Paul would instruct those at Ephesus that I want you to replace the old self with the new self. If you were a thief prior to this, no longer steal. Put your hands to work that you may be able to help other people. Do not be angry like the old self would have done. Do not let the opportunities be presented where Satan can sneak in and tempt you. And the idea is that we are going to replace what was there previously with something that is better. Colossians chapter 3, again in verses 12 through 17, Paul would say this. He would sum up the idea of putting on the new self. He would say this in verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3. "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." When we put away the old self and we bring up the new self, I like what Paul would say in the book of Ephesians and Colossians. He would echo that you are going to have to replace the old self with something. And it needs to be created in the likeness of God, which shows righteousness and holiness. Or as Paul would say, it puts on these characteristics like love and patience and kindness and humility. bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and peace, the peace of Christ, will be over your hearts. We have to find a way to move forward when the old self is crucified. When we bury that old self and we leave him in the watery grave of baptism and we rise up, we have to move forward. And we will move forward if we have put the old self away. We have renewed our minds to where we know that we are going to need changes, that we're going to need updates, that we're going to have to take preventative measures from falling back into our old ways. If we put on the new self, we are going to put our minds on things above, which is righteousness and holiness where God is. And as Paul would say in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I'm going to seek God's wisdom through his word to find out what I replace it, my old self with. Because if not, we recycle behavior. We recycle behavior. So the question then becomes, what is the answer? And I've got a picture, if you'll go to the next slide for me, Mr. Kevin. I've got a picture here that I found that I really like that I think helps to illustrate this point. If we have to put on the new self and we have to replace the old self, what do we replace it with? What do we do? What's the answer? And here's something I want you to see. In this picture here behind me, you will see the symbol for the recycle bins. You know, you see the recycle bins that you put cans and plastic in. This is the symbol of recycling. But inside of these different arrows here, what you see is you see these negative connotations. You see these things that we would consider bad things that can be either mental or physical characteristics. You think about humiliation. You think about weakness. You think about defectiveness. You think about powerlessness, deficiency, disrespect, inadequacy, vulnerability, ignorance, inability, disconnection, rejection, insignificance, and this list goes on. Fragility, morality. You can continue to look at this list, and what this list shows is that when we choose to allow ourselves to decide what we are going to replace the new self, what we're going to replace the old self with, if we choose to base it off of things of our former manner of life, you're creating recycling behavior. And you're going to fall back into the grave and pull out the old self. One thing that I have been thankful to God Almighty for is that when His Son's blood cleansed my sin and continues to cleanse my sin, He has given me everything I need to do to become a better person, to replace these characteristics so I don't recycle behavior. The challenge is, am I going to allow these things to hold power over me to prevent me from becoming who I need to be for God? And as Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice for God or to God. What it comes down to is these three points that we need to practice every day. We must commit to putting off the old self. We must commit to renewing our minds through the knowledge of His Son in the Word, as we would see Him to be in John chapter 1 and verse 1. And we need to commit to putting on the new self, which is clothed in Christ, resurrected as He was resurrected, marching to Zion. And when we do that, we break recycled behavior patterns. And we march forward, a new person, a new creation in God Almighty, marching with our eyes set on heaven to spend eternity with God Almighty. And we have to make that commitment no matter what happens. The old is gone. No matter what happens, we have to study and renew our minds in the Word. We have to find the answers to questions that we have. We have to understand the lifestyle changes that are necessary. And we must replace the old self to prevent ourselves from going back to the old ways. Paul says that we have the opportunity to be an imitator of God, to show his righteousness, to show his holiness and his purity. The only thing that prevents us from doing that is our personal decision not to. This morning, as we are gathered together here, you have the opportunity to, whether it be things in your life that are keeping you away from God Almighty, that are not showing that you belong to him and that you are a part of his creation that is in Christ, you have the opportunity to either change from those things if you have put on Christ in a relationship, or if you have not entered a relationship with God Almighty through his Son Jesus, you have the opportunity to be baptized into Christ, to wash those sins away, to wash those faults away, those mistakes away, and to become a better person day by day, so that one day you can hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And it's good news to those who are trapped in sin. And I want to challenge you this morning, whatever it is, whether it's the need to change something, whether it's the need to put on Christ in baptism, or whether it's the need to share prayer requests this morning, if we can help you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.